Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to go to John chapter 5. It's a simple word that I felt that God gave me just recently, and I just want to share this with you. I'll try and share a little bit about maybe a bit about my own journey as well. But John chapter 5, I'm just going to read this from the New Living Translation, says this: afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the waters bubble up." Now, just some versions might not mention it, some do. Just so you know that from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down. It was known that from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down. He would stir the waters, and the first one into the waters would get healed. So, "I can't, sir, for I have no one to help put me into the pool when the waters bubble up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and he began walking. Now, when I read this story, it's crazy, actually, because for as long as I've been alive, this guy had been sick. I turned 38 this month. And when I think about my own life in 38 years, I know some people in church will still say to me, "I'll call you young man because you are a young man to me." But I think about it, 38 years of my life, there's been a lot of big life events that have happened. You know, it's a long time. I've got more and more people in church pointing out the increasing number of grey hairs that are forming in my beard. And I'm claiming the promise that the Bible says that grey hair is a sign of wisdom. Okay, so all you mockers, take your place. All right, so. But a lot's happened in 38 years. I think to myself, wow, imagine being sick like this with what the Amplified says was a lingering disorder. Been seriously sick for a long time. And actually, some of the versions of the Bible say by this that it uses the word invalid. In other words, he was so sick, so weak, he was unable to care for himself. He was unable to get to the pool by himself. That's why he says, "I need a helping hand." He'd lost the use of his legs. There's no strength left in his legs. And he's been sick all that time. But Jesus is in town. Praise God. Aren't you glad when Jesus is in town? Hallelujah. Jesus is in town. And Jesus one day is walking past this place called the Pool of Bethesda. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. And as he walks past this pool, he sees this guy who's laying there, who's been unwell for 38 years. And he asks him a question. Now, how many people think to me, surely the answer is a no-brainer? Would you like to get well? He says he knew he'd been sick for a long time, for 38 years. Would you like to get well? Now, Bethesda, just so you know, it means the house or the place of mercy. Okay, that's what it means in the Hebrew, the house or the place of mercy. In other words, it was actually, Bethesda was a really well-known spot or place that you go to if you are sick or if you are unwell. That's why it talks about crowds of sick people had gathered there. The blind, the lame, or the paralyzed lay on those porches. Imagine walking past this kind of open-air pool. There's just crowds of sick people who are there. But they're there because it became known as the place where you went to if you were sick, because the first one into the waters was healed. It had a history, a testimony to it, that people recovered at this place if they were the first one into the water. And so the history of Bethesda is actually these five colonnades, porches, shelters, whatever your version says, they were built to accommodate the crowds of sick people who were coming to find their healing, to find their cure. And so it was the logical place to go. And then Jesus comes along, knowing all of this, and says, "Would you like to get well?" I mean, why ask a sick man sitting with crowds of sick people at the place where sick people go to get well, "Do you want to get well?" It almost seems daft. It seems almost kind of a crazy question. It would be like me or you walking into the Queen Elizabeth Hospital this afternoon, walking onto a ward, finding a patient lying in a bed and saying, do you want to get well? Surely the answer is going to be, well, why else am I here? That's what I'm here for. I'm here in the hope of finding a recovery. I'm here in the hope of finding the cure. But Jesus was actually probing at a deeper issue. He was probing at a deeper issue in this guy's life, which is what I want to speak into this morning in a number of different ways, not just in the number of sickness, but in a number of different situations, which I'll highlight in a moment. Jesus was probing at a deeper issue. It wasn't so much about what's going on externally right now. He was searching out what's going on internally inside of you. See, after 38 years, the question is really this. Do you still believe for a different outcome? Can you still believe for that? Or have you given up? How many people know that 38 years is going to have been charged with a lot of emotion, frustration, disappointment, etc.? We'll talk more about that in a moment. And Jesus is really asking, do you still believe change is possible? Do you still believe that, or have you given up, or have you accepted that this is your lot? And actually, if you think about this guy's story, it's a question that's not daft. It's a question that makes an awful lot of sense. Jesus knew that he would need to have faith. He would need to believe to break out of this situation. But this is why this question makes a lot of sense, for three reasons. Number one, he'd been living in an unchanging situation. How many people know that the longer something goes on for, often the harder it is to believe for change? Let's just be real. You know, the longer this condition had been like this for a long time. You know, usually when something is fresh and it first begins, we have that energy, that faith, that kind of get up and go. The longer something goes on, the more of a test it becomes to our faith, to whether we can continue to believe, to whether we still believe that change is possible, because we haven't witnessed any real change. Secondly, I want to say to you this. Things hadn't worked out as he had hoped they would work out. He was a man who had faced disappointing outcomes. How many people know it's a logical question to ask someone, do you still believe that things can change? Or have you given up when you go through circumstances in your life where things don't work out like you hope, when you face disappointing outcomes? Thirdly, I want to point out this to you. He'd seen others get breakthrough. He'd seen others get changed. He'd seen others, transformed. He'd seen others changed, but he hadn't been. It says, I can't ever get down there. Others get there ahead of me and they get their healing. They get their breakthrough. They get their answer. Now, don't just think about in the realm of sickness. Yes, in the realm of sickness, but in any area in our life, how many people know when you're seeking for a breakthrough, you want to see a breakthrough, yours doesn't seem to come, but others seem to get it. It's a challenge to your faith. Can I continue to believe? Because something inside of you, the pressure to give up, actually the enemy really turns that screw when you're in any one of those three situations. It's an unchanging situation. Don't just limit this to sickness. Just think about across your life right now. If you're in an unchanging situation, God, I've been praying for a long time for my husband or my wife to come back to the Lord, but I've seen no real breakthrough or change. It's been like this for a long time. I'm just giving you examples now, okay? Things haven't worked out like you hoped. Surely we've all been in one of those. Or you faced a disappointing outcome. You've seen others get breakthrough and answers and change, but you haven't. Whenever you find yourself in one of those three situations, there's a crucial question to be asked. Do you still believe change is possible? Or have you given up? I'm not going to condemn anyone who says, actually, I've given up, because I really want to search this issue and I want to probe this issue and I want to speak about some of my own experience in my life. But you see, often what happens when we face those situations is something inside of us does begin to give up, because he says, do you want to get well? And what's the first two words that come out of his mouth? I can't. I can't, sir. Actually, inside of me, I've resigned myself to accepting this is my lot. This is the way it's kind of going to be. I can't, carries that undertone. I've just got to accept with this. Accept this, live with this. This is kind of the way it is. And when we go through unchanging situations, disappointing outcomes, or we don't seem to get answers that others do, sometimes it pushes us into a place where we go, well, do you know what? I resign myself, therefore, to just accepting this is the way it is. And so his expectations that at the beginning of his journey may have been, I believe that this can change. After this time, has come to a place where it's like, I can't, sir. This is just the way it is. This is life now as I know it. I just want to give an illustration of how we can sometimes do life using kind of something that happened to me with running. And that is that a while ago, like I'd done a really nasty Achilles injury and partially ruptured my right Achilles. And I have like a big sort of scarring lump of, you know, around the back of my foot where I'd done that. And then I was laid up from kind of a number of months being unable to run. And then last year, what happened was interesting because what happened was when I got that, I didn't really seek any help. I just kind of ignored the issue and just thought, oh, it will get better. And then after 4 months, I returned to kind of running. And what I found was that I would run. I could still move after 4 months. But what had happened is I'd adapted the way I ran. Does this make sense? And so where before I had it was amazing to see my free running style. You know what I mean? I make it sound like, in fact, actually, it's quite the opposite. I ran yesterday and I said to a couple of guys, I see how slow some of the people look when they go past me. If I think they look that slow, however slow do I look when I'm running, you know? So I'm not anything special at all. But what I found was that as I was running, I could still run, but I learned to adapt to it. I learned to live with it. And so I began to run, but with a different style, with a bit of a limp. So I still had some movement, but I didn't have that freedom. What happened was because I didn't address that in my life last year, after kind of doing a lot more kind of training for a big run, last year what happened is my left Achilles began to go. And I began to feel the same issue in my left Achilles. And do you know what I did? I ignored it. And I began to adapt to it. And so now you can imagine seeing me running. It's like, it's kind of not very pretty at all, and as if it ever was before. But as I'm running, I'm adapting to it. I'm adapting. I'm saying I can learn to live with this. I kind of just adapted my running style. And actually, I began it to define my running style. I'd be out when I'd be running. I'd be conscious, like, this is not how I used to feel. I no longer feel free. I no longer feel like I could run like I could run. I can run, but I can run with a limp. I've adjusted to live with it. Friends, I think some of us do life like that. And actually that things come along in our lives and actually we really need some healing, some breakthrough and some change. But when that rumbles on for a long time like it did for me, what we do is we just go, well, I can kind of still do life. It's just I do it with a limp. I've kind of adjusted. Does this make sense? I've kind of adjusted to kind of doing it. So it's not, I'm still getting by and still doing stuff. It's just I'm limping my way through. I'm moving, but I'm limping. And then someone recently said to me, I'll pray for you. I'm like, that's a good idea. Because I just accepted it. I'd given up on that's just the way it is. I resign myself to I limp now. Someone says, I'm going to pray for you for God to heal that. Isn't it funny, you know, how you pray for all these other people and then why don't you think about praying for yourself sometimes, you know? And I'll tell you what, actually, I'll give you a really honest, sometimes it's easier to have faith for others than it is for yourself. And I'm putting myself in that boat. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. And you know what? Over the last few months, I've had no pain in my Achilles at all. And you begin to feel like something's beginning to come back. And when you feel that freedom again, you think, oh, I really need this. Friends, some of you are doing life with a limp. And God wants to bring some healing in some areas so you can do life free again. Run. I've got this issue, God. I've got this sickness, God. I've got this situation, God. I've got this addiction, God. I've got this problem, God. I've got this disappointment, God. I've got this depression in my life, but I've adapted to live with it. I can do life. I can get by. It's just now I do life with a limp. Where I once felt free, now I limp my way through. It defines the way I do my life. It defines the way I approach life. And when Jesus asked him that question, do you want to get well? He wanted to know, what are your expectations now? What are your hopes for change after all this time? Not only did he want to know that, friends, he wanted to raise that. I pray with the help of God today, my mandate is to raise some expectation and hope for change. Because that's what I believe that Jesus wants to bring for people. Do you want to get well? Can you still see a different outcome? Do you still believe that change is possible? I can't, sir. he says. Wow. We'll just talk about some of that emotion in a minute, because I don't want to just gloss over that. I want to get down to dealing with some of that stuff. But T.D. Jakes says this. He says, perception and faith always walk together. Because if you can conceive it, you can receive it. But you cannot conceive what you do not perceive. And that's why you don't receive what you could. Probably best I leave that one there, because it's a bit like I've got to try and get my head around all the Eves that are in there. But if you basically, the basic essence of it is, it's important to be able to see it, to believe for it. So if you cannot no longer see yourself, he's saying to the man at the pool, like a different outcome is possible, there's not going to be faith for it. You know, but can we see a different outcome? So much emotion is released in our lives when we face unchanging situations, disappointing outcomes, or others getting answers we didn't. This is not an exhaustive list. This is a few of them. Disappointment, desperation, sadness, frustration, hopelessness, bitterness, resentment, a sense of injustice. Imagine the emotional roller coaster this guy has been on 38 years of life. Friends, the biggest battle when we face those three situations that I keep mentioning are often our internal battles. Often our internal ones. And actually, what God highlighted to me with this man is that he had actually positioned himself in the right place. He was doing the right thing. And yet Jesus is speaking to what's going on inside of him. Do you know, and I'll say a bit more about this in a minute, do you know that sometimes in life, when you're in these battles, you position yourself in the right place, you come to church, you do the right things, and yet there's a battle going on inside of you. There's a battle that rages. And Jesus is speaking to that internal battle. Not just are you in the right place, not just are you doing the right things, but what's going on inside of you? Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That word, I just want to give you some of the meanings of that word, because actually, when you put all the meanings together and you paraphrase what it's saying, it's really powerful in what it's saying. That word hope means expectation. So when expectation is deferred, and it's talking about when you anticipate or you expect an outcome and it doesn't work out as you'd hoped. And the word says, when you face those scenarios, where does that affect you or where does that hit you? It says in your heart. Hang on, go back with the paraphrase. You're beating me to the punch. Sorry. Just go back. Sorry, buddy. Thank you. It hits you in the heart. And that word heart there is quite powerful when you begin to unpack it. It means it's more than just what beats inside my chest. It's my inner man. It's what it reflects in the Hebrew, in the original language. It's my mind, it's my will, it's my understanding, it's my knowledge, it's my thinking, it's my reflection, it's my memory. Oh, hang on a second. Actually, what we're getting to now is that these things do far more than affect us physically when we go through these challenges in our life. They affect my inner man, they affect the way I think in my mind, my will, my understanding, my knowledge, my thinking, my reflection, my memory. And what does it do to you? The Hebrew word says it makes you sick. Now, you just sort of think, bleh, when you think about being sick. But that word sick means weak or tired. Are we beginning to drill down now into what actually begins to happen? All of a sudden, when I go through this and things aren't really happening, shifting, moving, changing, outcomes are not turning out as I hope they would, it's affecting my mind, my will, my thinking, my memory, my reflection, my inner man. And what happens? I become weak or I become tired. In other words, I don't even know if I've got the strength or the energy to believe. Anyone ever been there? Come on, have you ever been there? I've been there. Anyone else like me ever known when the alarm clock's gone off and you're going through one of these battles in your life and you know that your head's saying, I need to get down and pray. I need to get up and pray. I know it's the right thing to do to position myself in the right place and do the right things, but yet I've got no energy to get up and do this. I've got no kind of drive to get up and get in the place where I know I need to be. I feel weak inside. I feel tired. Anyone ever been there? I've been there. Been there a few times recently. And you see, when you paraphrase it and you put it together, let's read it like this. When what you expect to happen hasn't happened, this is my paraphrase, by the way, so if it's, yeah, that's not for credit, I'm just saying I've not nicked it from anyone. When what you expect to happen hasn't happened like you hoped, it makes your inner man, your mind, your will, your understanding weak and tired. You feel like you've lost the strength and the energy to believe. Do you want to get well? It's starting to make a lot more sense, isn't it? Do you want to get well? Can you still believe for an outcome? Can you still see a change? Can you still perceive it in your mind? Or have you come to a place where I can't, sir? I've put myself in the right place. I'm doing the right things. Others seem to get it. I don't. Can you perceive a different scenario? It often affects us so much more than in physical ways. Unchanging situations, disappointing outcomes, sickness will affect us more than just physically. Very real mental and emotional battles kick off on the inside of us in our low times. He must have had, if you really try and immerse yourself in this man's story, he must have had some very low, dark days by that Paul. He must have had some really down, difficult days. Friends, the world is working hard right now in the news and everything to smash the stigma of kind of mental health issues. We should do the same in church. There should be no kind of insecurity in talking about this, in saying when we're going through stuff, in when we do find that we feel down or we feel low or we're going through hard times. It's not always depression. It can be depression, but at some point, and I'm not speaking this over us, surely we've all known what it is to have been in one of, if not all, of those three situations. And how do we face that? And how do we handle that? And what do we do with that? Because those times, they challenge our faith. And the reality is there will be times in our life when we feel like giving up and quitting. But I just want you just now to watch this short video clip by T.D. Jakes. I want you just to watch it and just to listen to this, because I think this is really powerful. Andy, can you just kill those lights for me, because you know where the switch is. But we're getting down to some nitty gritty of stuff here, but you know, I believe God's going to do something in some people. And I just want you to carry this thought in your mind for a moment. My challenges to my faith, those times when I feel like giving up or quitting, am I alone? Should I just be quiet? What do I do about them when I go through them times? Let's just watch this short video clip. Thanks, Joff.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much, but don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best. best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just want to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to thumb, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
One Timothy 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, at times it's a fight to believe, but the most important thing is that we stay in the fight. You know, we might lose a round or two, we might get a bloody nose, cop a black eye, whatever it might be, but just because you lose a round or two, it doesn't mean you lose the whole fight. You know, don't retire on your stool if you lose the odd round. You know, stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't quit. I felt like God drew me to this guy's words. He says, I have no one to put me into the pool. And God highlighted to me the loneliness that he felt. You know, he felt alone. I'm having to deal with this on my own. I think that when you go through, I know, when you go through these some of these battles and you feel low or you feel like giving up, it can be quite a lonely place to be. And it's like the loneliness of what he said. I have no one to help me into the pool. I was hoping I'd find some help. I was hoping I'd find someone, but I have no one to help me into the pool. And so he's on the brink of giving up. He's in this kind of loneliness. He's in a crowd, yet he feels alone. And yet I feel that sometimes we can do church just like that when we're battling stuff. We're in a crowd, and yet we feel alone. Does anyone see me? The sense of isolation that's going on in the guy's heart. I just know that the one thing the enemy wants to do is isolate people. That powerful image that I remember Jason from America bringing about when lions hunt, and if you stay in the pack, you're safer than what they try and do is isolate the odd one out of the pack, don't they? To get them into a place of isolation and loneliness because they're vulnerable. The enemy works overtime in our lives to do that. To, you know, we're in the pack, but he wants to kind of isolate us into a vulnerable kind of place. But Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. I have no one, but Jesus says, I see you. And this is the phrase that God gave me. When everything says give up, I can get you up. When everything says give up, I can get you up. I love the fact that when he couldn't get up and he'd given up and he felt alone, Jesus came to him. Jesus came to get him up. And verse 6 says that Jesus knew he'd been sat there ill a long time. And when you read the commentaries, they say that he was arguably, most probably, they agree, the worst case scenario that was there by that pool. And it's this guy's story I've got recorded in my Bible. The worst case scenario or story. And the reason it's there is because Jesus is trying to say to me, when everything says give up, I can get you up. If I can do it in the worst case scenarios, I can do it for you. I need you to have faith in me. I need you to believe me. I can do it for you. So as I read this story, he wants me to know, he wants you to know, even if you felt lost in the crowd, he sees you even if others don't. No matter how many years have gone by, no matter how long things have been this way, physically or emotionally, he can get you up. No matter how low I might feel or tempted I am to give up, Jesus sees me, sees my situation, and he can get me up. And when he gets me up, everything changes. This guy's life changed. Jesus doesn't just come along and say, hey, I'll give you a hand down to the waters. He's not just a helping hand. He doesn't just come along and say, hey, I'll give you a few words of encouragement. Hang on in there. Hopefully your time will come soon. He doesn't just come along and say, hey, I'll make you more comfortable. Here's a new mattress for you to sleep on. He says, do you want to get well? And that word well means healthy and sound and whole. Do you want to feel healthy? Do you want to feel sound? Do you want to feel whole again? Transformation. Jesus is saying there's a way out of this. There's a way out of what you've been stuck in. There's a way out of what you've been struggling with. And the way out, Jesus says, is this. I need you to put your faith in me. Because when he asks him to stand up, to roll up his mat and walk, wow. He's just said, I can't, sir. And now Jesus is asking something of him. Do you want to just come back on the keyboard for us? That would be great. And it is essentially when he says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. He's saying, put your faith in me. And I believe that there are two things that he asks of him. That if you feel like you're in any of them three situations, or you've lived through them, or you can identify with them, that's that you need to take, Jesus saying to him, you've got to take your eyes off everything else. That includes the past. You've got to take your eyes off everything else. You've got to take your eyes off everyone else. Those who haven't helped you. Those who have got what they needed. And you've got to look to me. And the second thing is this. You've got to stop listening to all the other voices. The voices that rage inside of you. I can't, sir. The voices of disappointment and etc., etc. All those other voices, and I need you to listen to me because Jesus is about to speak to him. And he says, I need you to listen to what I'm about to say. Verse 8, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And it's like Jesus says, if you get your eyes on me, just look at me. You've got to look at me right now, he's saying to this guy. You've got to listen to me. Just listen. Everything else is going on around you right now. Just listen to me. I believe Jesus is saying that to some of you right now. Listen to me. Just look at me. All other voices now, all other things that begin to kind of, you know, get stirred up in this moment, memories and disappointment and issues and struggles and fights. Jesus is just saying to you, you got to look at me. You're in the crowd, but you got to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Listen for my voice. Listen for what I'm about to speak into your circumstance. Listen to what I say. Believe what I'm speaking to you this morning. You can stand up. You can rise up. You can pick up your mat and you can walk out of this place when everything around you is saying, give up. Jesus is saying, look at me because I'm saying I'm here today and I see you and it's time to get up and it's time to move on. It's time to feel healthy again and sound again and whole again. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as he hears the word of Jesus speak into the midst of all his frustration and his disappointment and his pain and his sadness, as he hears the words of Jesus speak into his situation, he hears the very word of God, the faith that comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and it begins to create fresh faith inside of him. The expectation for hope and hope for change begins to stir on the inside of him. Expectation levels begin to rise because Romans says, as we hear his word, it is able to create fresh faith on the inside of us that says, I don't have to give up. I can get up in Jesus' name. See, whatever your faith levels are like today, hear this guy's story from the Word of God. If you will hear what Jesus is saying right now, your faith and expectation for change can increase. But you've got to listen to him. I have to let go of all that other stuff and hear him speaking to me today. You've put your faith in people. You've put your faith in places. You've been disappointed. But Jesus says, put your faith in me. I can make you, I can make your situation that you're struggling with well. Friends, there's a couple of times in my life when I've hit that kind of low place, that rock bottom place. One last year in the back end of the summer, and I told you, and what got me out of that place was when I heard Jesus speak to me. I was in a crowd of a tent of thousands, but I heard his voice. And he got me out of that place. And just recently, I've been fighting some stuff and battling some stuff. And last night, I'm coming to God saying, God, I'm preaching this message. I do sure feel pretty hypocritical with saying some of this stuff, God, because you know what? I've been battling and fighting in my own heart. And God just spoke to me. Last night, God spoke to me. I got up this morning and God continued to speak to me. And when I hear his voice, he gets me out of that place. He gets me out of that place. There's all these other voices, all these other issues. But when I hear his voice, when Peter walked on that water, I said it this morning, that's what God spoke to me last night. He says, son, you have to keep your eyes on me and you have to listen to what I'm saying. Because when your eyes are on him and you're listening to what he's saying, miraculous things become possible. He walked on the water. It says there was waves and there was a storm and it was beating the boat and it was pushing them back. That's interesting. It was pushing them back. But Jesus says, Peter says, if you'll say it, I'll come. And Jesus says, come. And he says, Lord, I look to you and I look to what you're saying to me and I'm getting out of this boat and I'm coming to you. And he begins to walk. Miraculous things become possible. God is sustaining him in the midst of a storm. The wind and the waves haven't stopped at this stuff, but God is sustaining him in the midst of a storm because his eyes are on Jesus and he's listening to Jesus. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he forgets what Jesus said to him and he looks at the wind and he looks at the wave and what happens? He sinks. Friends, I'll tell you this much. I'll go down without Jesus. But if I'll keep my eyes on him and I'll listen to what he'll say, I haven't got to give up. I can get up. And Jesus is just speaking to your heart today, some of you. And he goes a step further than that. He says, oh, don't just get up. He says, take up your bed and walk. What's he saying? You ain't going to need that anymore. You're not going back to that place again. That bed used to keep his little spot by the pool. Jesus says, you're not going to need that anymore. You don't need to save that spot because when I come along and I get you up, you don't have to go back to that place anymore. You don't need to save it and say, well, maybe I need a fallback plan. He says, no, I get you up when you want to give up and I get you out of here. Pick it up, walk it. It's redundant. Take it away with you. You're moving on and you're not coming back. Friends, as I close, it's time to get up. It's time to move on. Jesus wants to get you out of there. My question is this. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Why don't we stand to our feet? Praise God. We'll just close right now. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for anyone who this message has spoke to your heart. Because I know the battle is real. It's real. It's real. But you maybe have been fighting some of this stuff. If that's you, it took courage for that man to do it. I want you to courageously stand at the front this morning to say, I'm in that one of them places right now and I need prayer. And as we close, just come forward and stand at the front and the ministry team will just get round you and just pray for you. I believe Jesus wants to get you up. So don't give up. Lord, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for what you're saying. God, I know it's been my voice on a microphone out of a pulpit, but God, my prayer is that what people will hear today is your voice. Speaking to them right now. Speaking hope. Speaking hope into their hearts. Fresh faith rising in their hearts even now. God, as they begin to come and begin to respond to you, God, I pray, Lord, let them hear your voice. Help them in the midst of this to get their eyes on you.